Light reflects off shiny metallic V-shapes of descending sizes that sit within each other. Village Roadshow Pictures. A golden piece of film flies across a black background. It reveals the words, Becker Entertainment, in gleaming golden letters. Small red, white and orange discs float through the air. FFC Australia. Film Finance Corporation, Australia.
Two nuns stand under black umbrellas, shielding themselves from the sun. One of them smokes a cigarette.
And Village Roadshow Pictures.
A group of young boys walk in single file towards a building. The boys stand in a line as a woman in a flowery dress walks past them. Some look nervous, others smile. Misty, a bespectacled boy of about 8, beams up at her.
Hello. When I think about that time, it's not the heat, the dust, the nuns, or even the boys I remember, so much as a sense of anticipation. The constant belief that somehow I'd be saved.
Misty's face falls as the woman speaks to a little boy with red hair. The woman's companion puts his fedora onto the boy's head and picks him up. The other boys watch as the couple walk off with the smiling boy.
In association with Becker Films.
In a dormitory, the boys, all dressed in matching striped pajamas, chat to each other.
I wouldn't say we had it bad, since it was all most of us knew. It was only there was something just out of reach, and we might never catch up.
And the South Australian Film Corporation present...
Misty gathers up some drawings and watches sadly as the red-haired boy packs a suitcase. A nun strides into the dormitory. The boys all leap up and race over to their own beds. They quickly tidy away their things and stand at the foot of their beds.
A Richard Becker production.
Lights out, boys.
The boys turn off their bedside lights and climb into bed.
A film by Rod Hardy.
May you be blessed and sleep with God's benevolent grace.
Amen. Amen.
The boys settle down. The nun leaves, turning off the dormitory light as she goes. The room is plunged into darkness. Misty sits up.
Sparks.
One of the older boys, Maps, shows a younger boy, Spark, a cigarette. Spark takes a torch from the bedside cabinet, pulls a sheet over his head, and turns it on. He shines the beam at Maps, who fumbles with a packet of matches. Misty clasps a set of rosary beads between his hands as he sits in prayer. Maps lights the cigarette and takes a drag, then passes it to Spark, who in turn hands it to another friend, Spit.
Someone's coming.
The cigarette is given back to Maps, who stubs it out and wafts the air around him. Day. The young red-haired boy walks out of the orphanage, holding hands with the woman in the floral dress. The man in the fedora walks beside them, carrying the suitcase. Misty, Maps, Spark and Spit watch from a veranda as the boy gets into the couple's car. The woman looks up and the boys drop their trousers and moon at her. A covered pickup truck drives along a dusty road. Misty sits in the passenger seat.
I don't remember who wrote, "I love a sunburnt country." But I'd bet money they never lived out here. Just look at it. It's the definition of desolate. This is where I lived most of my young years. This is where I lived until you could say I was rescued by a dream.
December boys.
The pickup drives across the flat, scorched red Australian outback. Maps, Spark and Spit play fight in the back of the truck.
These were my best friends. Spark, Spit and Maps. My real name's Vernon, but they call me Misty. No reason to go into that right now.
Today's the 1st of December. The December boys, please come forward.
In the orphanage...
They say the best place to start is the beginning. So first off, you better know, we were all orphans.
Maps is handed a photo frame.
Thanks, sister.
Spit receives one too, as do Spark and Misty.
Everybody ready? For they are jolly good fellows, for they are jolly good fellows, and so they all are.
The four boys walk down a corridor together.
It's about the Sparks. I told you she looks under the mattress. I didn't put him there.
It's about Mooning Willie.
A nun wearing a habit and wimple walks slowly out of a room through a set of double doors. She passes the boys, who look at each other nervously. Misty nods at the others and leads the way into the Reverend Mother's office.
Enter.
A middle-aged priest stands at one side of the modestly furnished room. The boys creep in apprehensively.
Come in, boys.
Reverend Mother stands silhouetted against a window. She walks towards them.
Father Scully, this is James, Donald, Bruce, and Vernon. Better known as Maps, Spark, Spit, and Misty. They're our December boys.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you, Father.
We have a little surprise for you.
The boys stare at her.
A benefactor has left St. Gregory's a little money, and I've decided to send everyone on a holiday. As this is your birthday month, I felt it only fitting you should be the first to go.
We're going on a holiday.
You'll be staying with Mr. and Mrs. McCanch. They're great friends of the church.
It's a town called Lady Star Cove.
Spit smiles.
A special place. On the sea.
Misty stares at her.
On the sea.
He smiles. She turns to a painting of the Virgin Mary.
Yes. It could be that Our Lady interceded for you.
Misty stares at the painting.
I had this spiritual antenna other people didn't have. That's why I could see things no one else could. When I looked at Our Lady, I knew. I knew she'd chosen me for a special mission.
The Virgin Mary glows. She's reflected in Misty's spectacles. Fluffy white clouds dot an azure blue sky. Father Scully drives the covered pickup across the outback. In the back, Spark and Spit look at a bra advert. On another page, a photo of a woman with her bra hanging loose. Maps looks out of the window as the two young boys giggle. Later, Misty sits in the back of the truck. He plays paper, scissors, stone with Spit. Now he sits reading a book. Spit and Spark are fast asleep either side of him. Spark leans out of a window, cut into the pickup's tarpaulin cover. He holds out half an orange, which Maps takes. One of the younger boys sits with his legs hanging out of the window. The pickup drives on down the long, straight road, leaving a red dust trail in its wake. Evening. The clouds now glow gold in an amber sky.
It was more than being orphans that tied us together. Or even our friendship.
They're parked beside a field.
Like destiny.
Cross swords!
We were even given the same birth month.
All for one and one for all! December boys!
They stand in a line and pee. The pickup drives along a dark road. The boys are asleep in the back.
The further we travelled from what we knew, the more it seemed like we were being pulled into another world. A world where all the doors were open and anything was possible.
A motorbike appears to fly across a glittering night sky. Multicoloured lights are reflected against the windows of the pickup. Misty wakes and sees a man leading a camel. Misty winds down the window and looks out at a brightly lit fairground. He stares wide-eyed, a big grin fixed upon his face. A motorbike flies across the stadium. The motorbike soars through a wall of flames. Fearless Forte is written in orange letters on the back of the motorbike rider's jacket and is reflected in Misty's glasses. Fireworks explode above the fairground as the pickup drives away. The pickup drives on along a dark country road. Lightning flashes up ahead. They pull up outside a large beachside house. Misty gets out of the passenger seat and goes to help the other boys out of the back. Father Scully.
Yes, Father. Come on, fellas.
Ah, right you are. Welcome aboard.
Boys, this is Petty Officer Vandy McCanch.
Father.
Petty Officer.
A dark-haired woman.
Oh, huh.
Joins Bandy.
As you can see, all present and accounted for. Boys, I'd like you to meet my lovely wife and the skipper of this establishment. Mrs. McCanch.
Nice to meet you.
Father, we thank God for your safe arrival. May His grace light your path and give you the appropriate wisdom and joy in your new experience. Amen.
Amen. I knew there'd be a catch.
Well, Petty Officer, show the new recruits to quarters and I'll finish in the galley.
Well, have fun, boys.
Thank you, Father.
Right. Step this way. Welcome aboard.
Misty lags behind the others. Bandy blows a whistle. Misty follows the others inside. Bandy sits in the living room playing a harmonica as the boys get ready for bed. Misty walks out of the bathroom brushing his teeth. The boys eye each other nervously. Bandy walks towards the boys' room.
It's been a long day. Time to settle down, everyone in bed.
The boys go to their beds.
Specific. Sing your lullaby.
Misty settles down under his blanket. Bandy turns off the light and closes the door behind him. Maps and Misty immediately sit up. Misty holds his rosary beads.
It's loud. I didn't think it'd be this loud.
Yeah. The old specific.
I spit. Have a look at this.
Spark turns the bedside light on and reaches under his pillow. Maps gets out of bed and closes a second door. Spark and Spit look at a newspaper clipping.
I suppose you know you'll be going to hell? Really?
He holds up the clipping of the bra advert. Maps lights a cigarette.
Trying to relax.
He takes a drag and stares out of a window.
Is he coming?
Maps gets back into bed. The other boys settle down. The boys lie still in the darkness.
My ass is snoring.
Misty pulls his blanket up to his chin and stares at a painting of the Virgin Mary. Misty is out of bed. He turns and looks at the windows, his eyes wide and frightened. He reaches down to the foot of his bed and attempts to push it closer to Maps. Maps reaches out an arm and helps him.
Come on, boy.
Maps pulls Misty's bed towards his, then pats the bedsheets and settles back down to sleep. Misty climbs into bed and lies down, flinching at the thunder. A bright sunny day. Maps walks out onto the veranda in his swimming trunks. Spark and Spit run out after him and race off down the beach. The boys run into the shallow water. Spark splashes Misty.
Have a look at this! Spark! Come on! Yeah, come on.
The boys clamber over rocks. They see a fishing boat.
Hey! Hey!
Hello!
Woo!
Hi!
Hey over here!
The bearded fisherman frowns at them. The boys run up a sandy track, which leads them away from the beach. They cut across a grassy sand dune and sprint up onto a clifftop. The crystal blue water of the Pacific glistens as the sun beats down on it. Below, the wooden beach house nestles in a sheltered cove, along with several others, barely visible against the sand. The boys, all wearing matching burnt orange swimming trunks, run across a pink granite outcrop. They head towards a collection of rocks which balance precariously at the top of it. The unusual formations stand tall like abstract sculptures, undulating depressions carved into them. The boys run between the rocks. They stare in awe. Misty, Spark and Spit run over to join Maps, who's waiting for them underneath a hook-shaped outcrop. They enter a dingy cave.
Somebody set themselves up.
A portable record player sits in front of an old rocking chair. Spark picks up a bottle. Maps picks up a packet of cigarettes.
Don't take any.
Spark picks up an old blanket as Spit and Maps head back towards the cave entrance. Outside, the boys run down a sand dune. An abandoned car and a rusty bicycle lie amongst junk on the beach. The boys investigate. Maps checks under the car's bonnet.
Hey! Doors are right!
Spit finds a piece of rubber tubing in the car as Maps, Spark and Misty toboggan down a large sand dune on another car bonnet. The boys raise their arms as they slide down the slope. Spark jumps up as they reach the bottom. The three boys pick up the bonnet and start to carry it back to the top of the sand dune. Spit plays with the engine of the old car. He turns and gawps. A chestnut horse stands high on a nearby dune. The elegant horse swishes its tail. Spit runs towards it. He scrambles up the dune as the other three boys slide down another on their bonnet.
Hey guys! What is that?
They run after him. Maps, Spark and Misty run past the rusty abandoned car and race up the dune after Spit. The horse gallops off. It gallops down a grassy bank towards the shore. The boys slowly follow after it. They crouch down behind a bush. The horse stands calmly on the shoreline, silhouetted against the shimmering water. A woman walks out of the sea. Misty watches her.
The most beautiful woman I'd ever seen, other than our lady. Sleek as a seal. Mind you, I hadn't seen nearly as much of our lady.
Spark faints.
Spark, get up! Come on, get up!
They help Spark to his feet. The boys walk across the beach towards the woman. The horse trots off.
We heard you were coming.
The pretty woman, who's wearing a patterned dress, turns to face them. She's in her 30s with long dark hair. Teresa smiles at them.
I've come to a religious epiphany. But whatever ideas I had about becoming a priest quickly climbed into the back seat.
She opens a bottle of sunblock.
We call him Spark, because he stuck a knife in a toaster and nearly set the orphanage on fire.
She rubs the lotion on Spit's face.
Spit?
Spit spits.
My dad flew a Spitfire during the war. And I'm a champion spitter.
And you? You like Maps?
Nah, he's got a birthmark on his chest, shaped like Tasmania.
I'm right.
Maps steps back as Teresa goes to put sunblock on him.
I'll have seconds.
She strokes Spark's nose. Teresa walks up to Misty and begins to rub sunblock onto his cheek, forehead, and neck.
You, Misty.
Because he's a waterworks.
Misty kicks out at Spit.
Phyllis is home.
She walks off. She hurries off towards the sand dunes. Misty and Spit watch her go. The boys run after her as she walks towards a neighbouring beach house. Spark looks out at the bearded man, who's still fishing from his boat.
That's Shellback. He fishes for Henry. Is Henry a person?
Spark frowns. Waves crash against the rocks behind Shellback as he fishes in the cove. Misty climbs onto the McCanshes' veranda and walks towards a workshop at the side of the house. He stands in the doorway and looks around, then steps inside. A set of tools hang neatly on a board above a workbench. Misty goes over to a second bench and picks up a large tin. He shakes it. Night. A motorbike rides across the clifftop as waves lap against the shore below. Inside the beach house, the boys in their pyjamas sit with Mrs. McCanch as she prays.
Oh, my good angel. Whom God has appointed my guardian. Watch over me during this night. And protect me from evil in my thoughts as well as my deeds.
Spit and Spark stand.
Let your presence lead the way to righteousness and goodness.
The motorbike rides down the sandy track towards the two beach houses. Spit and Spark watch from the open door.
Boys, God cares nothing for motorcycles.
The two boys reluctantly go back inside. Day, Shellback sits in his weathered old fishing boat and bangs his hand against the side of it. A large creature slowly swims towards him. Shellback beams and reaches out towards it. Spark sits on the motorbike.
We're gonna get us in trouble. I never had a ride one of these. My dad had one.
Spit gets on.
Bullshit, your dad died when you was three.
Get down.
Wait. Somebody say you could climb up there?
We was just looking.
They step away from the bike.
We're here on holiday. My dad has a bike just like this.
That's so.
Oh, I saw you on the wall of death. I saw you go through the fire and everything. You must be about the best cyclist there is.
The man, fearless, straddles the bike and revs the engine. Misty grins at him.
First.
The younger boys beam. Misty turns to a wary-looking Maps.
I'll go.
Dark-haired Fearless smiles as an excited Misty jumps on behind him. Spark and Spit look at each other disappointed as the bike zooms off. Maps gazes down at the ground, troubled. Spark and Spit run after the bike as Fearless rides it across the sand. Shellback stands up in his boat and watches. Teresa and the McCanches walk out onto their verandas and stare after the retreating bike. Teresa wears a blue dressing gown, which billows in the wind. She heads back inside. Misty sits on Fearless's shoulders and waves his arms in the air. Now Spit sits on the handlebars, his arms outstretched. Spark stands on the back of the bike as Fearless rides it through shallow water. Spark pumps his fists in the air. All three boys ride with Fearless. They ride down the beach. Then back as the sun sinks below the horizon and dusk falls. A pretty blonde of about 16 leans against the side of a caravan eating an apple. A middle-aged man walks out of the caravan and over to a pump. He cranks the handle a few times, then goes over to a generator. In the cove, lights come on in the beach houses and along the sandy track. At the McCanches, Maps and the boys are loitering on the veranda steps and watching the house next door.
At least someone's having a good time.
The boys look bored. Spit walks up the steps and takes a coin out of his pocket. He balances it on his bent elbow and tries to catch it as he swings his arm forwards. The boys all turn and stare as the generator man, Mr. Watson, and the blonde girl walk past. 15-year-old Maps stands up and gawps at the girl, a besotted grin on his face.
How you going?
She turns and smiles.
See you later.
She stares at Maps. The girl walks on, casting flirtatious glances back at Maps, who can't take his eyes off her.
I feel like I ran up a drain pipe.
Maps playfully slaps Spark.
Why do we have to be stuck here?
That's easy. That was fun.
I'm not stuck.
Maps ducks under the handrail. Spit and Spark follow him. Misty stares out at the beach sadly, then quickly looks back at the house and follows the others.
Go!
The boys run towards Fearless and Teresa's house. The blonde girl carries bottles of beer.
Hoop, hoop. Hooray!
Boys.
Thanks, Luce.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Luce.
That's the same sort of thing that happened to Archbishop O'Donnell. I was there in the church Sunday morning.
The boys crawl underneath the house. Fearless, Mr. Watson and Father Scully sit on the veranda above them.
And it was the middle of winter.
You know, it's good with Lucy around this summer. Give Tess some girl company.
By the way, how's her father doing?
Still looking for work in Darwin.
5 minutes to dinner.
Oh,
thanks, darling.
Cheers, Tracer. Hey!
Maps swipes a beer. Misty drops his glasses. The others run.
Wait for me! Wait!
It's unexpected to picnic where they're from.
Oh, for all you hear, it's not too bad out there. They're well cared for.
Yeah, I'll bet they are.
I think I'll go and see if I can give the girls a hand.
Still, it's not the same as a family.
Indeed it isn't.
I think Tess blames me for taking her away from her family. Her country. Supposedly starting her own out here.
Phyllis shakes his head.
Shook something loose.
Well, there's no substitute for family, that's for sure. But you're not saying you're giving up hope.
Nah. Not saying that. It's just... Nah, you get to a point, you know? You start to see things like they are.
He turns to Father Scully. Kids. Misty listens from under the veranda.
There are children, just like those boys next door, desperate for a good home. And here you are, desperate for children.
Misty smiles. Fearless looks thoughtful.
You got a point there, Father. We want a kid. And they need parents. We can just line them up, which one we like the best.
In the boys' bedroom, Spit closes the adjoining bathroom door. He goes over to the door that leads through to the living room and presses his ear against it. The door to the veranda opens. Spark quickly hands the beer bottle to Maps. Misty walks in.
What happened? My glasses got knocked off.
We saved you some.
Maps holds out the beer bottle.
I'm going to bed.
Concerned, Maps stares at Misty as he gets ready for bed. Spit takes the bottle and drinks from it. Early morning, frothy waves lap gently over the craggy rocks that jut out from the shoreline. Spit, Spark and Maps are asleep in bed. Spark stirs and rolls over. Misty fidgets restlessly. Hearing the motorbike, Misty sits up, reaches out for his glasses, and puts them on. Outside, Fearless rides towards the sea, turning the bike around before he hits the water. Misty watches him from the bedroom window. He whispers the word, Dad. Misty pours a cup of tea for Mrs. McCanch.
More tea?
To Bandy.
Oh, there you are. I want you all to take notice of how sharp young Vernon looks this morning.
Misty grins. The other boys eye each other, bemused. As the boys walk to the breakfast table, Spit purposefully knocks into Misty, pushing him into Bandy, who's seated at the table.
You all right?
The boys take their places at the table, Maps next to Misty, Spark next to Spit, to Mrs. McCanch.
I'd like to say grace.
That'd be lovely.
She looks pleased.
O Lord, we beseech thee in your wondrous grace, and thank you for the food we're about to receive. Amen.
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 Misty rolls a lobster pot towards the house. Spit and Spark play on the beach. Misty sits down on the veranda steps and watches them miserably. Misty picks up a wooden picture frame that is leaning against a post. He holds it up and looks through it. Spit chases Spark around a large craggy rock. The boys appear to run in slow motion as Misty watches them through the frame. He moves the frame to the left and sees an apparition of a nun standing in front of the gates to St. Gregory's orphanage. Spit and Spark walk towards her, carrying suitcases.
Where is my precious Misty?
He's been adopted.
He was always the best of the lot.
The smiling nun leads the two boys towards the orphanage. As the apparition fades, Misty puts the frame down. He stares out at the ocean, thoughtfully. Sunlight glints off the calm waters of the Pacific. High above the ocean, Maps climbs the granite rock. Dark-haired Maps, who wears a fern green t-shirt and brown shorts, looks up to see Lucy standing at the top. She smiles down at him.
I don't live there. I just come up here to observe.
She throws her arms out either side of her. Map stares at her a little nervously, then makes his way up to the top.
You're one of them orphan kids.
Yeah.
She skips ahead of him.
Maps. So, what are you observing?
You had a good look at these rocks?
I've seen them.
Haven't you noticed anything strange?
They are weird looking.
Lucy dances around one.
Same as Stonehenge. You ever heard of Stonehenge?
Kind of.
Well, it's the same. When they come back, I'll be ready.
People from outer space?
Of course.
She takes his hand and they run towards the cave. They stop by the narrow cave entrance and stand facing each other.
Did you see many women you're from?
Nuns. Mostly nuns.
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
She takes out a cigarette. Maps nods. Lucy takes a box of matches from the waistband of her blue shorts and puts the cigarette in her mouth. As she strikes the match, their faces are briefly illuminated by the flame. Maps watches Lucy nervously. She takes a drag on the cigarette and blows the smoke into his face. She takes a second drag and moves closer to Maps, exhaling by his ear. Maps stands frozen. She places the cigarette between his lips and smiles at him brazenly as he inhales.
By the way, my name's Lucy.
Good to meet you.
She smiles. Shellback's boat chugs its way across the gleaming blue water. Spit and Spark run along a wooden jetty walkway. They head towards an old boat shed, ignoring a sign which reads, "Keep out."
Have a look at all this!
Spark leads the way into the shed.
Check out the net. And this is a sphere.
can you just rest?
Shellback's boat sails towards the shed. The boys don't notice. The boys turn. Spit runs towards the water.
Wait! He was just looking around!
Shellback drops anchor.
Can you read that sign?
They look at the keep out sign.
What are you fishing for, Moby Dick? When it rains, Spark's the best fisherman at Bible Creek.
You see a creek round there, Boyle?
He's worried I'll catch Henry before he does.
Shellback stares at Spark.
A fish is a fish!
Spark walks towards Shellback.
He's a masterpiece! He was swimming in these waters long before you were born. He's bigger and smarter than you'll ever be. Get lost!
Spit rolls his eyes, and the two boys walk away. Night, at Fearless and Teresa's house.
I made a suggestion without getting my bloody head bit off.
It's not a suggestion. You gave up.
For Christ's sake, Tess, listen to me. I'm not saying that we won't have a baby. Okay, all I'm saying is that we should talk about adopting one of those kids that needs a home.
Teresa looks away. Fearless gazes at her intently.
It's possible. That's all I'm saying.
She stares at him, upset.
You've decided it.
No.
Je comprends pas, moi. Tu n'as aucune idée de ce que tu dis.
Tess, you're not listening to me!
No! It's your fault. I can't have babies.
Teresa walks into another room and slams the door behind her. On the beach. The boys have lit a bonfire. Spark holds a branch over it, which ignites.
Come on, put some more on!
You don't need any more yet.
She's getting naked!
Spit and Spark run off. Spit and Spark follow Maps as he walks away from the bonfire. The younger boys suddenly break into a sprint and head towards Fearless and Teresa's house. Maps runs after them. The boys pop their heads up outside Teresa's bedroom window. Teresa stands inside with her back to them and slowly unbuttons her dress. The boys gape as she removes it and proceeds to unhook her bra. Teresa takes it off and turns towards them slightly, displaying a pert breast. Spark faints. Spit and Maps look down at Spark on the ground. They turn back to the window. Misty picks up a stone and flings it at the house. Misty legs it as Maps and Spit hide. Spark gets up. The three of them run back to the McCanches. Misty locks the veranda door.
I'll yell.
Misty, I know there's got to be a very good explanation for that. So why don't you come out and tell us what it is? I promise nothing will happen to you.
Misty looks thoughtful.
Just remember, I'm the one keeps you from getting killed, and one of these days we're all going to be back at St. Greg's.
That's what you think.
Misty, who's leaning against the door, turns around and peeps through the keyhole. He watches as Maps, Spark and Spit walk away. Misty leans against the door again, looking pensive. Hearing a noise, he turns and makes his way slowly towards the bathroom. Misty grins mischievously and carefully opens the door a few inches. Mrs. McCanch is taking a shower in an adjoining bathroom. The outline of her body is visible through the shower curtain. Misty smiles as she runs a hand over her breast and stomach. A bra with padding sewn into one cup lies on a stool. Mrs. McCanch turns around, revealing more of herself through a gap in the shower curtain. Misty's smile fades as he sees a large scar where her left breast should be. He quietly closes the door and leans back against a cupboard, disturbed. Morning. Misty sets the table for breakfast, Bandy and Mrs. McCanch are standing in their bathroom doorway. Misty walks over to the fridge and watches as Bandy hands his wife a pill. She walks to the kitchen sink and swallows it down with water as Maps, Spark and Spit walk into the room.
I have great news.
They look at her eagerly.
He's taken confession today.
Clean slate. Just in time for Christmas, eh?
Great. Yeah.
Ripper.
Yeah, great.
Father Scully takes confession in his pickup truck. Spark leaps out of the back. Father Scully gets back into the driver's seat as Misty runs over to the pickup and climbs into the back.
What's troubling you, son?
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
How long is it since your last confession?
About 3 weeks. I've had some unclean thoughts, and I pulled a face at one of the sisters.
Is that all?
Not exactly.
Oh, come on, lad. I'm going to need besting in a minute.
Scully looks hot and flushed.
You wanted. You know, something you wanted more than anything. And you had an advantage. Because the others don't know. What's the point in giving it up? I mean...
Look, I can't guess, son. You're going to have to tell me. It'll ease your mind if you unburden yourself.
I heard something. Can you tell what he's saying?
Something about big breasts.
What?
If you keep this knowledge to yourself, are you being fair with the other boys? I think you should tell them. The burdens and the joys of this world are always better shared. Do you understand?
I've got to share.
That's right. Now, for your penance, you say five Hail Marys.
There's something else that happened last night.
Save it to next time. I'm cooked.
Father Scully slides the window shut. Spit's been spying on them. Misty sees Spit watching him. He quickly jumps out of the truck and hot foots it across the beach. Spit, Maps and Spark take off after him. Spark catches up with Misty, pushes him to the ground, and sits on top of him.
Get off me! My arm can't breathe!
Tell us all we'll slag ya!
Now then, I wouldn't want anything coming out of Spit's mouth landing on my face.
Spit stands over Misty, a globule of saliva at the ready. Misty cringes. Spit sucks the saliva back in.
I swear.
Spark looks at Maps.
Let him up.
Spark climbs off Misty. Misty stands up.
When? I don't know. Before we leave, they're going to choose which one of us they like best.
Why would they want us? We're too old.
Speak for yourself.
We're not as old as you are.
Spit glares at Maps, then walks off with Spark and Misty. Maps watches them walk away. He follows them. Mrs. McCanch carries a cup and saucer into the kitchen where Bandy and Misty are washing up.
Where are the others?
I'm not sure.
Mrs. McCanch puts the cup and saucer down and wanders through to the boys' room. Spit and Spark stand in front of the bathroom mirror, combing their short hair. Spit sees Mrs. McCanch watching them and smiles. He walks out of the bathroom, followed by Spark. A subdued Maps sits on his bed, playing patience. Misty walks with Teresa on the beach. Teresa looks out to sea.
Africa is just over there.
Misty points into the distance. Two of them walk barefoot across the wet sand. Maps climbs up the rugged cliffside. Teresa turns to Misty.
Do you remember your parents?
I think I do. But maybe it was a photo.
He looks away sadly.
And tan. And my mother had long, dark hair. She was smiling. They died in a car accident. I don't know why I wasn't there. Nobody ever told me.
Teresa looks at him kindly.
I'd never let them out of my sight.
Teresa puts an arm around Misty and kisses him. Up ahead, the horse paws at the water.
That's Socrates. Shellback says he catches fish and feeds them to the cats.
Have you seen him do it?
No. But I believe a lot of things I can't see.
Me too.
Misty nods. He smiles at Teresa. Socrates continues to pour at the water. In the cave, Maps and Lucy sit opposite each other on old wicker armchairs. Lucy takes a drag on a cigarette, then hands it to Maps.
You ever think about running away?
There's no place.
He shakes his head.
When I get 18, they'll make you leave anyway.
Maps takes another drag on the cigarette and hands it back to Lucy. She turns to the record player beside her chair. He nods. Maps sits back in his chair and looks awkwardly at Lucy.
When it floods, we can swim or go fishing. We have a footy team and a choir.
Can you sing?
Lucy smiles.
Not really.
Try singing this.
I'm not good.
Lucy stares at him intently. She raises her eyebrows.
Surprise.
She leans forwards and looks at him seductively. Maps ponders nervously.
Still I wonder who stopped the rain.
Lucy grins. She moves towards Maps.
Listen.
Been a fable. I watched the tower grow. 5-year plans and new deals. Wrapped in golden chains. And I wonder, still I wonder, who stopped the rain.
What'd you think?
Looks good.
Lucy kisses Maps full on the lips. He gapes at her wide-eyed and grins. She smiles at him kindly. Maps nods, besotted. Lucy leans towards him.
I can teach you if you want.
She smiles at Maps flirtatiously. Maps gulps at her, then giggles. On the beach, Spit is polishing Fearless's bike. Misty joins him.
I'm not saying I'm better riding than Fearless. All I'm saying is that what he does ain't as hard as it looks.
You're full of it. You've never ridden a bike in your life.
It's all right to be jealous, Misty, my little mate. Me and Fearless have something in common that you'll never have.
Misty picks up a handful of sand and throws it at him.
Get back here!
Spit runs off. Teresa and Fearless stand on the shoreline talking. Misty clambers onto a rock and watches them from a short distance away. Teresa places her hands on Phyllis's chest, then reaches up and kisses him. Misty smiles as the couple walk away. An apparition of three nuns, their eyes closed, their hands pressed together as if in prayer, appears in front of him. The nuns walk towards him, then stop and open their eyes. The middle nun smiles.
We've come to tell you, Vernon. You're to be adopted. You can stay here as long as you like. And now, for some excellent cartwheels.
The three nuns turn and cartwheel off down the beach. Their glowing forms fade as they near the water. Misty smiles. Maps and Lucy stand outside the cave, looking out over the sparkling blue ocean. Lucy swigs from a bottle.
It's not good for much. But at least my uncle made decent grog.
Lucy hands the bottle to Maps, then leans back against a rock. Maps takes a drink.
Think he'll choose?
I don't know.
Spit's clever. He can fix most anything. Misty's the youngest, and he's a good artist. And Spark's got good energy. He's the fastest, wins all the races.
What about you? Aren't you good at anything? I know it's not singing.
Well, I don't want to be adopted. What's the big deal about parents anyway?
Maps doesn't look at Lucy, who stares at him solemnly. He takes a few steps forward and looks out to sea. Maps glances back at Lucy, who smiles at him warmly. He hands the liquor bottle back to her. Misty opens a cupboard in the McCanch's workshop. He closes it again and opens a drawer. He takes out a roll of brown paper and places it down on a workbench. Misty picks up a sheet of white cardboard and looks at a colourful painting on one side of it. He smiles, then begins to wrap the painting in the brown paper. Dusk. Mrs. McCanch lies on her bed, her eyes closed, her left hand resting on her stomach. Bandy stands beside her and lays a string of rosary beads across her hand, then places her right hand on top of it. Misty watches through the window as Bandy gently strokes her hair. Misty marches into the boys' bedroom, passing Spit, who's bouncing a ball against the wall. The boys gather round him.
What do you mean, dead?
Well, lads.
Bandy walks towards them.
Skipper's a bit under the weather tonight, so I suppose it'll be bread and jam for tea. Anyway, as the next highest ranking officer, she has asked me to carry on. I think it's appropriate and not out of place to give you your Christmas gifts tonight. Any objections?
No.
Right, good show.
Bandy takes gifts out of a paper bag.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Bandy.
Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas.
To Maps.
Thanks, Bandy. Merry Christmas.
The boys sit down at the table and start to unwrap their presents. Misty pulls a small mechanical object out of a box.
I don't suppose you've seen one of these, but every ship has one. It's called a gyroscope.
Bandy pulls a string and the gyroscope begins to spin. The gyroscope consists of a metal pin which runs through the centre of a circular disc. A metal ring runs around the edge of the disc, and a second ring stands perpendicular to that one.
It's like the ship's conscience.
Bandy's smile fades and he looks troubled. He glances around at the boys. Their eyes are all fixed on the gyroscope, which is spinning on the table. Bandy walks over to the bedroom door.
Leave the bread and jam on the sideboard.
Thanks.
He opens the door. The boys look worried.
They'll send us packing. Misty's always making stuff up.
We've got to go and have a closer look.
I'm not going in their bedroom. Me neither.
Then Misty and me'll go. When Bandy goes out, we'll go in.
The gyroscope wobbles as it begins to lose momentum. Day, Maps, Spit and Spark walk towards Teresa and Fearless's house.
We don't know anything, so just look cheerful.
They approach the veranda steps.
Shining his glasses.
They climb the steps and knock on the door. Hey. Fearless opens up.
Merry Christmas, boys.
Shellback and Mr. Watson are sitting at the table. Teresa walks out to greet the boys.
Where's Misty?
He's coming.
He's always late. He can't be trusted.
Map smiles at Lucy in the other room.
Here he is. What have you got there, mate?
I made you two a present.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Spit and Spark share an unimpressed look.
Now that you're all here, me and Tessa got a surprise for you.
Lucy whispers into Maps's ear. Teresa and Fearless have presents.
We don't have any sizes, but they all got drawstrings. So, Misty?
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Spark.
Joyeux Noël.
Merry Christmas, boys.
The boys stare at their gifts.
Hold them up.
They rip open the pretty wrapping paper and each take out a pair of black swimming trunks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Where's Bandy?
Shellback.
Mrs. McCange is a bit sick, but Bandy will be by later.
Okay. Tout le monde, à table.
All right, that's French for let's eat.
Sit where you like.
Misty smiles at Fearless. Spit glares at his young friend as he walks past him into the dining room. Spark deliberately walks into him. Lucy surreptitiously takes Map's hand and holds it behind his back. Gentle rolling waves lap at the rocks as Bandy leans against them playing his harmonica. Maps and Misty run down the steps of Teresa and Fearless's house and hurry across the sand to the McCanches. Bandy stops playing and stares into the distance, tears in his eyes. Maps and Misty walk into the kitchen.
Skipper!
They slowly cross the room and head for the McCanches' bedroom door. Maps knocks on it.
Skipper!
Maps cautiously pushes the door open. He and Misty nervously poke their heads around the door. Maps leads the way into the room. Mrs. McCanch lies in her bed, her eyes closed. Maps and Misty stand at the foot of the bed.
Such a bad old stick.
They stare down at her sadly. A bottle of pills sit on the bedside cabinet. Maps walks around to the side of the bed.
I saw Bandy giving her pills, but I never knew how bad she was.
Maps looks over at Misty.
Didn't suffer.
Oh, she's probably up there in heaven, looking down on us, thinking, what's those silly buggers doing? Go on. Touch her.
I'm not touching her.
Oh, well, if you go first. Don't be a Nancy.
Misty walks warily towards Mrs. McCanch. He slowly reaches a hand out to touch hers. She grabs his wrist. Later, all four boys look in through the window.
I'll be back tomorrow.
The boys duck down as the doctor picks up his bag. Bandy and the doctor leave. Mrs. McCanch is propped up against some pillows. Father Scully stands at the foot of the bed.
Father, tell the boys to come in.
She points towards the window. The boys traipse into Mrs. McCanch's bedroom and stand in a line at the foot of her bed. They stare at her sheepishly.
Sorry, we just
wanted to know what was happening.
Mrs. McCanch looks tired. The boys hesitate for a moment, then move around to the sides of the bed.
I'm sorry you have to see me like this. I must look afraid. It was selfish of me to invite you here, but I thought it'd be nice to have some young energy in the cove. And I was right. It's just...
She smiles.
My disease won't cooperate.
Misty smiles at her.
I got cancer.
Spit looks at Father Scully.
I have to go back now.
Father Scully looks down at Mrs. McCanch. Spit turns to her.
And I know you boys can uplift his spirit.
She smiles warmly at the boys. dusk, Bandy, his harmonica to his lips, walks slowly along the shoreline. The boys follow him in single file. They're silhouetted against the gold and indigo sky as the sun sets below the horizon. Socrates the horse walks along the beach a short distance behind Bandy and the boys. In the cave, Maps and Lucy lie beside each other on a pile of cushions and blankets.
Well, it's the calling. They say no matter how hard you don't want to do it, if God wants you, he'll get you.
But what if you just didn't do it? I mean, you could refuse.
That's what I'm saying. You can't not do it. I had a teacher once who told me she was cool. She tried to fight it. She traveled through Europe, drinking, having sex like nobody's business. But she knew she couldn't be happy until she was a nun.
Lucy sits up.
Think you'll get cold?
I sure hope not. But it's like your medal. And God's the biggest, most powerful magnet ever made.
Lucy stares upwards thoughtfully, then looks over at Maps and
so
smiles.
You'll be a priest?
Hell no.
He sits up.
Catholic school, but it's not like they turn you into one. They teach you other stuff.
Father Maps, I've been a very bad girl.
Why have you been a bad girl, Sister Lucy?
Well, Father, I've been thinking about a boy.
Maps watches her nervously.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
Lucy runs her fingers across her thigh, then takes Maps's hand. She rests his hand on her bare thigh and slowly guides it higher. Maps stares at her, his breathing heavy. She gazes at him, her lips parted. She lies back down and gently guides his hand inside her pretty red and white blouse towards her left breast. She closes her eyes.
Kiss me.
Maps kneels and bends forward to kiss her neck.
Oh, come closer.
She sits up. Lucy watches eagerly as Maps fumbles with his belt. He pulls down his trousers. Lucy pulls him on top of her. A silver spoon with a hook tied to one end of it is attached to a fishing line that's lowered into the water from a boat. Henry, the large grouper fish, snatches the bait. On board the boat, Spark is pulled over as Henry swims off with the hook. Spark struggles to reel him in. Shellback runs out of his shed.
Hey, get out of my boat! Nobody gave you permission! Get out!
He runs down the beach towards the water as Spark wrestles with the fishing rod. Shellback shouts at Spit and Misty. The boys hurry towards the shoreline as Spark is once again pulled over by the strong fish. The rod is bent at a 90-degree angle as Henry tries to get away. Spark hauls with all his might, his young face fixed in a determined grimace. The fish swims in a circle, dragging the boat with it. Misty and Spit watch with concern. Shellback stares in despair, his hands pressed to the sides of his face as Spark battles with the fishing rod. The rod snaps and Henry swims away. A joyful Shellback laughs.
Serves you right.
Shellback jumps up and down and waves his arms in the air and dances around, kicking out his leg. A despondent Spark peers wearily over the side of the boat. He catches sight of Misty and Spit watching him. The boys grin at their friend. then wander off across the shingle, their arms around each other. In the cave, Maps lies down next to Lucy. She puts her arm around him and gently strokes his hair as he rests his head on her shoulder and closes his eyes.
I want you to always remember me as your friend.
No worries.
He cuddles up to her. In the boys' bedroom, Spit and Spark use a magnifying glass to examine a newspaper article about actress Jane Mansfield.
Where? I can't see anything. I told you. You're saying things.
Maps examines a love bite on his neck. He walks into the bedroom.
You can see it, pubic hair.
Maps takes the magnifying glass and holds it over the black and white photo of the beautiful actress.
What's on your neck?
Maps' eyes spit, stands up, and walks over to his bed.
What'd you do?
Maps takes out a cigarette tin.
Figure it out when you're older.
Maps takes a cigarette out of the tin and walks off. Spark watches him go with a grin. Hearing the noise outside, Spark, Spit and Misty hurry to the window. They stare out of it, captivated. Blue sea froths around the rocks in the cove. Spark and Spit play fight on the beach. Spit holds Spark in a headlock. Spit lets him go. Spark staggers a little, then spots something on the beach. He starts to run. Spark follows. They sprint over to Henry, who's washed up in the shallows. Spark crouches beside Henry. Misty joins them. Spark leaps about. Maps approaches. To Shellback. A stunned Shellback stares down at Henry and walks falteringly towards the large fish, his arms stretched out. Misty, Spit and Maps watch ruefully as old Shellback removes his woolen hat and kneels beside Henry. Spark's enthusiasm wanes.
You could have him if you want. Stuff him and put him up in your heart.
Shellback's leathery features crumple slightly and he repeatedly shakes his head. He rises slowly and shoots a bitter look at Spark.
And give him a proper burial.
Spark and Spit stand solemnly. The old boy glances back at Henry and weeps. Trousers rolled up to his ankles and barefooted, Shellback weaves unsteadily through washed-up seaweed and across the sand. Misty squats and strokes Henry. The others gather round somberly. Silver light reflects off the sea. Maps climbs to the rocky headland, overlooking the sunny cove. Wearing jeans and a red t-shirt and holding a small square box wrapped in fancy paper, Maps heads into the cave. He walks tentatively through the shadows and sits on a makeshift wooden stool. He waits nervously. Later, Maps runs across undulating fields past the generator to the Watson's caravan. The door is open, net curtains blow in the breeze. Maps approaches.
Mr. Watson,
what's the picture like? I'm up top. Can you make out anything? Should be something Christmassy.
Watson adjusts an aerial. Mr. Watson, holding a bottle, stands on a ladder outside.
Darwin to her dad. When's she getting back? Maybe next summer.
Mr. Watson continues to work on the aerial. Devastated, tears well in Maps' eyes. Maps looks away, then heads off back down the field. His walk gradually increases to a run. Night, the December boys sit having dinner at Teresa's. She gives them each a serving of mashed potato.
Some to take for Bundy.
Spit studies his plate.
This is the best meal I've had since I got here.
She moves on and serves Spark. Teresa serves Maps, who stares down gloomily. Misty pipes up.
I'll ever have.
Spit and Spark secretly make a finger down the throat sign to Misty as if being sick. Teresa puts down her dish and sits at the table. The younger boys are scrubbed up and their hair brushed. Maps stares down at his plate.
Aren't you hungry, Maps?
He remains statue-like and staring down glumly.
Have you ever been to the outback?
What's it like?
You can't fish unless it floods.
It's boring.
It's 100 times better here.
Spit shoots a glare at Misty.
Are you homesick?
I like the outback all right. You can count on things out there.
Spark frowns and looks to Spit and Misty. Map's eyes remain lowered. Later, on the beach.
Now. You might as well have said you didn't want to be adopted.
You think getting adopted is going to fix anything? You don't get it. Everyone leaves.
Map stomps off, holding a pot of food for Bandy. The others stand shocked. They follow him.
Map thought we were all in the same boat.
Map sits on the edge of his bed.
He was hanging off the side on his own.
Shadows of rain on the window streak across his face. Maps catches Misty staring at him. Misty turns away hurriedly.
Why Maps reached out to Fearless that night, and I never asked.
Maps' face is wet with tears. The bright lights of the fairground shine out. A roundabout turns. Two camels strut past a long slide. Maps hurries through the crowds. A stallholder hands a smiling woman a teddy bear. At the Hell on Wheels show, Maps crawls behind a bank of seats and watches.
The most bone-rattling, jaw-clenching, nail-biting, death-defying act you've ever seen. The one, the only, the bravest man on two wheels.
The bike rockets through plumes of fire. In slow motion, man and machine soar into the air and burst through a shower of flames and sparks. He lands and skids to a halt. Maps jogs away from the show and approaches the stall holder. Maps follows the stall holder's directions and finds Fearless kissing a blonde. He has his back to Maps. Fearless is emblazoned on his jacket. Aware of Maps staring at them, the couple stop kissing and turn. It's not the man Maps knows as Fearless. Maps stares and runs off. Maps walks in a dazed fashion, passing various stalls and a carousel. The camels stand beside a caravan which has an office sign outside. The owner comes out and shouts to a guy shoveling camel dung. Maps looks around and catches sight of Clive as he wheels a barrow of dung out from behind a camel. It's Fearless. He gapes when he sees Maps and approaches him.
What are you doing?
Maps punches him.
You're shit! You lie! You're a liar like all the rest! You made out you're some kind of a hero, but you're nothing. You're worse than nothing.
It's a job, mate.
Stop lying! Like you could ever adopt one of us. Like you got the right to be our father. You're a nobody. We don't need you. We don't need anyone.
Map storms off.
You want to lift home? Fly!
Phyllis turns to the camel owner. Fearless stares intently after Maps. Weak dawn light fills the cove. Mrs. McCanch lies in bed. Bandy feeds her. Hearing the door, Bandy checks his watch. Distressed Maps finds the boys' room empty. He heads into the kitchen. Maps continues his search.
Looking for you.
The McCanches stand at the bedroom door.
You must let us know where you are, son.
Maps walks out.
Son?
Maps looks out from the veranda. Bandy shuts the house door impatiently. Maps bursts into Bandy's workshop and paces frantically in the shadows. He holds his hand to his mouth as he paces. Maps knocks into something and turns back. He moves slowly towards the item and picks it up. It's Misty's framed painting of himself, standing between Teresa and Fearless, holding their hands. Maps studies it with a bitter expression. He angrily smashes the painting against workbenches. The others stand in the workshop main doorway.
We're leaving. Come on!
Misty goes to the painting. Misty picks up the battered and torn painting and clenches his jaw. He runs at Maps and strikes him with part of the broken frame. Maps falls and Misty continues hitting him. Misty sits astride Maps, smashing him with the wooden frame. Maps pushes him off and staggers to his feet. Maps kicks sand and stamps off. Misty slowly drags himself up. Spit and Spark stand looking sad and worried. Clouds drift across the rocky headland. Maps sits beside a campfire in the dark cave, staring down into the flames. He catches sight of a torch beam shining on the rock at the cave entrance. He turns and sees Fearless enter. He looks away. Fearless approaches and turns off the torch. Fearless sits down beside the fire and sees Maps's cut face.
A little bloke did that. You guys fight worse than brothers.
We are brothers. Leave me alone. I'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. What about the others? You're just going to abandon them because you're mad at Lucy?
You don't know anything about it.
But this is something that I do know. You're wrong what you said to me. Teresa and me had made good parents. And we would have had a load of kids right now if it weren't for me. I crashed the bike with Tess on the back. We used to be a team in the shows. She spent half a year in hospital. And I tried to keep it going on my own, but...
Maps considers and his expression softens slightly. He turns to Fearless.
Tess always knows.
Fearless fixes him with a gentle gaze. Maps holds it, then looks back into the flames. Storm clouds gather over the cove. Spit runs up towards Misty as Spark also approaches him. Spark's attitude is aggressive as he talks to Misty. Spit pushes Spark away. Spark pushes Spit back and wrestles him to the sand. They struggle briefly, then stop and get up. Wind blows Socrates' mane as the animal stands on the shore. Misty, Spit and Spark stand together on the beach. Spit and Spark eye each other. Spit wipes sand from his hand. Misty stands between them. Spit and Spark walk off in opposite directions across the sand. Misty stands for a moment, then walks up the beach. Maps lies on his back in the sand, gazing up pensively. The restless horse trots through the shallows. Maps gets to his feet. he races down a sand dune. Maps tumbles in the white sand but gets up and continues running. He races past the beach houses. Spit runs along the shoreline. Maps runs towards the rocks. Spark yells after him. Spit and Spark run for help. Maps clambers over rocks. Misty, his head barely above water, flails in the swell out at sea. Maps climbs hurriedly over the rocks to the water's edge. Misty struggles to remain afloat. Maps enters the water and doggy paddles towards him.
Look at us! We're swimming!
I'm drowning!
Maps reaches him. Misty puts his arms around Maps' neck. Maps sinks beneath the waves. Misty surfaces briefly, kicking to stay afloat and spluttering. Both boys sink. Their limbs flail, and air bubbles cascade from their mouths and nostrils as they twist and tumble. Their movements become weaker. Misty's eyes are screwed shut but open when a bright light shines on him. He looks up to see a luminous white vision of the Virgin Mary in the darkness of the seabed. Maps sees the figure and gapes. Both boys hang in the water as the vision becomes clearer, and Mary stands with her arms spread wide. A huge smile spreads across Misty's face. The silhouette of the boys is caught in the shadowy beams emanating from the vision. The boys kick their arms and legs gently. Maps, his eyes wide and staring, reaches a hand out towards the vision. The Madonna's gentle features become clearer. A hand reaches into the water and grabs Misty. Socrates stands on the shore. Fearless surfaces with the boys. Fearless, Misty and Maps cling onto a lifebelt. Fearless waves to Shellback, who's on the beach, to haul them in. Spit and Spark help him heave on the rope. They dry off at Teresa's.
We tried to save you. We did. I was trying to save you, I swear. I came into the water. It was up to my neck.
I went to the canches, but then I went to Shellback.
How you feeling, boys?
Better than I was.
I've got to say, mate, you're braver than me going out there and not knowing how to swim. Well done.
Fearless hugs Misty.
I was just a couple of feet away from you.
You were 75 yards out or something.
I could almost grab...
Who wants some soup? Huh?
Yeah, okay.
Fearless ruffles Misty's hair.
Something just pulled me away. Something just pulled me.
Maps sits pensively. He and Misty are wrapped in blankets. Maps nods and smiles faintly. Misty, wearing his spectacles, beams. He goes to sit beside Maps and gently lays his head on his shoulder.
Thanks.
Misty remains nuzzled into Maps' shoulder. There's a trace of a smile on Maps' lips as he stares ahead. Maps leans on the veranda rail outside the McKenches, looking out to sea. The other three come out of the house and join him. Spit looks to Maps.
He showed us all up.
Yeah, for an old bloke he came through.
I don't want to be adopted.
You don't?
No. I love things the way they are.
Maps walks off down the veranda steps to the beach. Spark turns to Misty and shakes his hand firmly, then turns to Spit and shakes his hand. Maps calls back as he walks towards the shoreline. Spark and Spit leave Misty. He stands alone, smiling as he looks out to sea. Maps enters the dark cave. He walks slowly to the makeshift stool. A metal button glints at his feet in the shadows. He picks the button up, sits, and studies it. He looks up and with sad eyes scans around the cave. He sits pensively. The pretty cove is bathed in sunshine.
And there was still no answer. No one seemed to notice that the biggest moment of my life was about to get left behind.
I'm tired of waiting.
Misty stomps off and the others follow. Fearless and Teresa let all four boys into their house.
Come through.
Misty leads the way.
It's all packed up. Sit down.
Misty sits at the table. The others stand round him.
I heard you tell Father Scully you were going to adopt one of us.
If you're going to adopt anyone, it ought to be Misty.
Not so fast. I've got qualities.
I can run fast. You can't even stay conscious.
Hey, boys!
Maps breaks up the scuffle between Spit and Spark. Misty bites his lip tensely. Spark smiles nervously.
I wish we could adopt all of you.
Spit forces a brave smile as tears glisten in his eyes.
We've put in the paperwork and it's just going to take a little time.
Misty's smile fades. Spark and Spit wear fixed smiles. Maps looks anxiously towards Fearless and Teresa. Her gentle, dark eyes flit around awkwardly.
Misty? We want you to be...
Misty smiles tensely. His eyes brighten. Spark and Spit look disappointed.
You want us for your parents.
We're not perfect, mate. We could love you.
Misty becomes tearful at Fearless's words. Maps bites back tears and pats Misty. Misty gets up and he and Maps hug tightly. A sad-faced Spark lowers his eyes. Spit glances at Misty with a tearful smile.
Missy's the one for sure.
Spark grins. Spark hugs Misty. Spit stands with his arm around Misty's shoulder and still smiles bravely as they all look at Fearless and Teresa.
Well,
she beams at them.
Like we're never going to see you again. I mean, we're sure to come back and visit. And, you know, if you're ever in the mood for some boiled lamb, you can come and visit us.
Yeah.
You boys are going to come back and say goodbye before you go, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no worries.
They leave Misty and head outside. Maps puts his arms around both boys' shoulders as they walk off.
See you, fellas.
Misty watches them go. Misty waves from the veranda. His friends look back.
No matter what, you're still a December boy.
Yeah. Spark playfully slaps Spit, who chases him. Teresa and Fearless stand beside Misty, who stares out wistfully. Maps gives him a long, affectionate look, then turns and jogs off to join the others playing on the rocks. Misty's brow furrows, and he purses his lips. The boys run round the rocks. Teresa and Fearless smile as they watch the boys. Misty's expression becomes more pensive and cheerless. Gathering himself, Misty turns to Fearless and Teresa.
I don't want you to be mad at me, but I can't stay. If I was ever going to be adopted, you'd be the best parents I could have. And that's no lie.
Misty turns to look at the others again.
I've already got a family.
He beams as he watches them playing. Teresa crouches and takes Misty's face in her hands. She nods and hugs him. Fearless looks on with a gentle smile.
I know.
Misty offers Fearless his hand.
No hard feelings, mister.
Fearless picks him up. Hugging Misty, he carries him down the steps and gently lowers him down on the sand.
Come.
Misty goes. Fearless turns and hugs Teresa. Father Scully enters the boys' bedroom where they're packing. The inside of Misty's case lid has a painting of the outback on it.
This is it. I thought if you wanted a keepsake, you might like to take the signal flags.
Oh, thanks!
Bandy leads the boys to Mrs. McCanch, who sits on the edge of her bed. Misty puts down his things and stands in the doorway. She motions for him to enter. He does, and they hug. Spark is next. He puts his arms around her.
Thanks, Skipper.
She smiles tearfully and pats Spit on the back as they hug. Maps gives her a quick hug. The boys stand in the doorway.
Okay, orphans, disembark! Right.
Smiling, Spark, Spit and Misty gather their gear and file out. Maps picks up his case and looks back at Mrs. McCanch before leaving. She smiles tearfully and nods a goodbye.
See you, Bandy.
See you,
Father.
See you, Bandy.
You open up your heart.
See you, Bandy. Thanks,
Bandy. Give you love to others.
Socrates pours at the water. Leaning out of Scully's truck window, Misty, sitting in the front passenger seat, points to Socrates. It holds a wriggling fish in its mouth. The other boys, sitting in the back of the covered truck, watch the animal and smile as Scully drives them away. Maps looks out to the cove and over the beach houses to the sparkling sea, where Shellback is in his fishing boat.
If it weren't for Maps, who knows if any of us would have ever come back. We could have gone on thinking of the cove like one of those old postcards. Realer than real. With each of us remembering it however we chose.
A silver Mercedes drives through sunny sand dunes and pulls up beside a blue saloon already parked in the cove. Wooden foundations are all that remain of the beach houses.
Time, after all these years, fills me with a mixture of excitement and the fear I made the whole thing up.
A bespectacled grey-haired Misty picks up a box and gets out of the murk.
Believe it or not, Maps did become a priest, travelling to Africa to help with the refugees. I got his letter just a few days before his ashes arrived.
Misty hurries towards two men on the beach. He shows them the box tearfully.
Thought about this place. And how happy
they hug.
I was that we could share it together. Maps wrote me before he went that if anything happened. And here we are. The December boys.
The three older men stand on the rocks looking out to sea. Misty still holds the box. He turns to the others sadly. A flashback of the December boys running across the headland. In the present, Misty, now a heavily built man, leads the others as they run across the same undulating headland with its corn-coloured grass. They stop, and each stretches out a hand to form a single cup. Misty places the silver button in their hands, then opens the box and pours Maps's ashes over the button.
Two, three,
the
December
boys! In unison, the grey-haired trio toss Maps's ashes into the air. They wave as the ashes descend in a wispy cloud towards the sea. Misty's lip trembles, and he bites back tears as he watches. The young December boys stand on rocks below, waving. They recede as the image travels away from the cove over the water. Shellback fishes from his boat in the blue waters of the cove. The screen fades to black. ITFC audio description by Jennifer Hill and Helen Vasey was read by Alex Newman. In Memory of Michael Noonan. Directed by Rod Hardy. Written by Mark Rosenberg. Produced by Richard Becker. From story work by Ronald Kinnock. Based on the novel by Michael Noonan. Executive producers Hal Gaber, Jonathan Steinman. Co-producer Jay Sanders. Line producer Barbara Gibbs. Director of photography David Connell, ACS. Production designer Leslie Binns. Editor Danny Cooper, ASE. Music by Carlo Giacco. Sound designer Andrew Plain. Visual effects supervisor Chris Schwartz. Costume designer Mariette Kerr. Casting Anne Fay, Maura Fay and Associates. What I'd get to be December boys again. Cast: Maps, Daniel Radcliffe. Misty, Lee Cormie. Sparks, Christian Byers. Spit, James Fraser. Bandy, Jack Thompson. Lucy, Teresa Palmer. Fearless, Sullivan Stapleton. Teresa, Victoria Hill. Narrator, Max Cullen. Mrs. McKench, Chris McQuaid. Shellback, Ralph Cottrell. Father Scully, Frank Gallagher. Watson, Paul Blackwell. Adult Misty, Max Cullen. Reverend Mother, Judy Farr. Sister Beatrice, Carmel Johnson. Sister Edna, Carol Ann Fuchs. Father, Rory Walker. Mother, Susie Wilkes. Adult Spark, Michael Norman. Adult Spit, Mike Welton. Willie, Kobe Donaldson. Older Boy, Julian Jones. Foreman, Andy McPhee. Curvy Blonde, Laura Weston. Cartwheeling Nuns, Casey Wilson, Susie Struth, Anna Westley. Fearless Riding Double, Rob Jones. December Boys, written by Peter Cincotti and John Bettis. Performed by Peter Cincotti. Produced by David Foster. Courtesy of Warner Brothers Records 2. Who'll Stop the Rain, written by John C. Fogerty. Published by John Dora Music, contractually required. Performed by Yen Kloa. Arranged and produced by Rick Price. Nobody Knows My Name, written by Rick Price. Published by EMI Music Publishing, Australia Pty Limited. Performed by Mitch Granger. Arranged and produced by Rick Price. There's a Light Across the Valley. Written and performed by Hans Poulsen. Published by Fable Music Pty Limited. Boom Sha La La Lo, written by Hans Poulsen and Bruce Woodley. Performed by Hans Poulsen. Filmed largely on and around Kangaroo Island, South Australia. With fondest memories, Maura Fay, 1958-2001. Teresa's sculptures supplied by Indiana James. Motorbikes supplied by Triumph Australia. I Love a Sunburnt Country, extract from the poem My Country. Copyright 1958 by Dorothea McKellar. Courtesy of Dorothea McKellar's estate. Joint Australian distributors Roadshow Films Pty Limited and Becker Entertainment. Produced in association with the South Australian Film Corporation and Village Roadshow Pictures. Principal Investor, Film Finance Corporation. Copyright Film Finance Corporation Australia Limited, the South Australian Film Corporation, Becker Group Limited, TA Becker Entertainment, Becker Films No. 7, Pty Limited. The events, characters and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture, including the sound recording, is protected by copyright and other applicable laws. And any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. All rights are reserved. Prints by Technicolor. Kodak Motion Picture Products. Fujifilm Motion Picture Products. The logos for Dolby Digital, DTS, SDDS. Motion Picture Association of America, number 43643. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company.